The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You are witnesses to these things. You, resurrection people, you are now witnesses to these things. Sure, Jesus is talking to the disciples here, but he's also talking to us. We have become witnesses. And let's be honest here, being a witness isn't always a fun thing. I mean, anybody who's been subpoenaed to court to testify to something that they've witnessed can tell you, you can't get out of it. Try not showing up to a subpoena. Bad things happen. And sometimes there are things that we just wish we hadn't seen, right? Because it's painful. Because there are things that as soon as we see them, we're on the hook. And there's no going back. Jesus says, "You are witnesses now." I remember my first day on the job at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, this great big research teaching hospital, state-of-the-art hospital, downtown Chicago. And I was so thrilled to be there. And to be honest, I loved the idea of being a chaplain at Rush Hospital, this state-of-the-art place, right? But the truth was, I'd never really spent much time in a big hospital. Sure, I'd broken a couple bones in my hometown and had a couple of minor surgeries. So I've been to a hospital, but I've never like walked around a hospital, especially with an employee badge on my shirt, right? In a big city like Chicago. And so on my first day on the job, we were getting a tour from some of the other long-term chaplains there. And this really funny thing kept happening to me as I was getting the tour. Every time, and it happened more often this day than ever it ever happened again, but every time we would be walking down a hallway or something, and maybe we were in the intensive care unit or walking around the hallways, around the operating rooms, whatever, we would pass by these people in beds with these like gaping wounds, stitches, scars, bruises, all out in the open. And the truth was, I didn't know how to handle it. I liked the idea of working in this hospital very much, but it turned out that I and my stomach really didn't much like the reality of being there at all. Every time we'd pass somebody in a hospital bed with a big open wound or scar, and like I said, it just kept happening that day. I found myself, when we were in these positions, not looking at the person in the bed, but somehow examining the beautiful wallpaper on the other side of the hallway, right? Oh man, it's just lovely. And the more and more this happened that morning, I had this creeping sense of reality overcoming me that being a chaplain meant I was going to be seeing a lot more of this, and that I wouldn't be able to just look at the wallpaper much longer. And this feeling of dread came over me, right? Because the longer the tour went on, I realized I really wanted to stay in the idea of being a chaplain. And the reality of being a chaplain made my stomach hurt. This is where we find the disciples. Today, we meet the risen Jesus appearing among his friends and disciples just days after they witnessed these things that they wish they could unsee. These are the same people who only a few days earlier watched their friend as he was tortured and whipped and hung on a cross. That's brutal. These are the same people who witnessed a Roman guard pierce his side with a spear. There are some things that you cannot unsee. And I just want to imagine the rage, the confusion, the hurt, the fear that is pulsing through their bodies in those days afterwards. We know trauma and grief, and we know that they must have been feeling trauma and grief at having seen their friend, their leader, their brother, their son murdered and treated in this way. So that if Jesus had risen and appeared to them today without wounds on his feet, on his hands, on his side, we might be able to say, just forget about that other stuff. Just forget about that trauma of those Good Friday occasions. But here he is among the disciples, and the wounds are still there. Even if they wanted to relish in this moment of joy, they can't unsee what they've already witnessed because the wounds are still there and they're still seeing them. And yet the resurrection is still unfolding around them. It is still happening. There's a line in our gospel, like they were filled with joy and doubt. Yeah. Because the wounds are there and the resurrection is there. That's a mixture of emotion. This last week, I felt that old tendency of mine to want to find some wallpaper, right? To want to look away from the reality of the hurt and the wounds in our world. That old sense of trying to find a nice piece of something to distract me across the hallway, right? I felt this again as news came in from Minnesota and Chicago of young black men killed at the hands of police. And I have to confess, again, when this news came in, I thought to myself, I have already been a witness to this. Not again. This is too painful. And I wanted to look at the wallpaper. If Jesus had appeared to the disciples without wounds or scars at the resurrection, then the wallpaper would be a great place to look right now. If Jesus had appeared to the disciples without the marks of crucifixion still on his body, I might very well agree that we don't need to spend any time dwelling in this week's wounds. I would much rather hide out in the idea of our nation being a place that is free from mass shootings. I would much rather hide out and keep my eyes on a wallpaper that is pretty somewhere on the other side of the room. But this is the challenge for us who are called to be witnesses to Christ's death and resurrection. We have become witnesses. We are called to testify to what we have seen, not to what we wish we could see. One of my favorite quotes that I think I've used in a sermon even in this last year comes from an Orthodox theologian who says, God's home address is reality. In other words, God doesn't live in ideas. God lives in reality. That's where God's home address is. The reality of pierced bodies, the reality of children gunned down in the streets at the hands of those who should have been serving and protecting them. The reality of bias and racism still in our nation. The reality of wounds that have not healed, no matter how tired we are of talking about them. The risen Christ is not an idea. He says it. He's not a ghost. He's not a patched up patchwork of good feelings and happiness. No, the wounds are still there. The grief is still there. And yet, so is the resurrection. And this is the transformational mystery that we, as witnesses, are called to wrestle with every single day. We have become witnesses to all of it, to the pain of Good Friday and the joy of Easter morning. So that when we see children gunned down in the streets, we testify to all of it, both to the horror of death and the promise and certainty of new life. We cling to the promise of resurrection even as tears fill our eyes at the reality of this pain. That's our work. Sometimes after a sermon, people will ask me, you know, Pastor, why can't you just give me things to do, right? Concrete actions to take in our world. Maybe at the end of your sermon, give me a list of things to do. This is a good answer. There's a long answer why I don't do that. And that's a good answer. We can go there sometime. But the short answer is that's just not how this works in our tradition. It's dissatisfying. I know. I'm dissatisfied with it. And I very much wish I could tell everybody what to do. But I can't, and I won't. But today, Jesus actually gives us two very concrete things to do. So let's go there. Let's do it. The first thing in this world of wounds and pain, this first concrete action is to let ourselves become witnesses. But in those moments, if you're tempted like me to find some nice wallpaper and just cut everything out, I urge you to see, to use your eyes and to see and to engage, to see George and to see Derek, to see Dante and see Adam, to see the folks at the FedEx station in Indianapolis, to see them the way that God sees them as beloved children of God, all of them. And the second concrete action is to let those words of Jesus that we heard in our gospel fill our mouths in response to the world around us. To fill our mouths with those words, not the words of defensiveness, not the words of violence or retaliation, but the words, the last words that we heard in our gospel today. Peace be with you. To let those words find a home in our mouths, and to be our testimony to a world of tears and wounds and scars. In those words, we will find and we will meet the joy of new life and resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.